The 52nd Berlin International Film Festival comes to an end tomorrow when the festival jury announces the winner of its top prize, the Golden Bear. David Darcy reports that one of the unplanned topics of discussion at this year's festival became the Nazi era, with four high-profile films addressing issues of guilt and responsibility.
The first film at the Berlin Festival to take on the Nazi era was Laissez-Passer, Bertrand Tavernier's three-hour drama about Frenchmen opposed to the Nazis who still worked for the movie studio that the Germans controlled in Paris during the war. The French in particular have made lots of films looking at the guilt and complicity many still feel about the fascist government set up in Vichy to support the Nazis. Through a translator, Tavernier said he wanted to show the heroism of real people who made judgments without the hindsight of history.
I must say, I tried to forget what I knew, and I tried just to look at these characters and what they saw at the time.
Laissez-Passer is a loose adaptation of the memoirs of a man who worked at the Continental Studio. A spoken memoir from Austria was the word-of-mouth favorite at the festival right after its first screening. Blindspot, Hitler's secretary, was the testimony of a woman who had not discussed her experience of the Nazi era for 55 years. The film consists entirely of 81-year-old Traudl Junge talking into the camera.
Hitler hat irgendwo was Großes verkörpert in der ersten Zeit, als ich Kind war.
Hitler had a special appeal for me, she says, because he had a fatherly quality. I grew up in a home without a father, and it was something that I must have missed very much. Junge recalls Hitler as a vegetarian with a weak stomach and no time to read the many love letters from German and Austrian women that it was her job to open. At the end of the war, Junge was in the Berlin bunker where the Nazi command took shelter. She remembers Hitler marrying Eva Braun there, poisoning his dog, Blondie, to test the poison that Eva would later use to commit suicide, and she remembers hearing Hitler shoot himself.
Und ich kann mich erst wieder erinnern, wie ich dann wieder aufgetaucht bin in dem Kreis, und da saßen die dann alle rum in dem breiten Korridor, trinkend, rauchend, und also Bormann, der General Burgdorf, Goebbels war noch da, die Adjutanten, der Linge, der Günze.
I can remember feeling this sudden hatred, she says, this deep personal hatred for a man who killed himself and abandoned us all, like marionettes who had no idea what to do once their strings had been cut. After Berlin fell, Junge learned about the horrors that Hitler had kept from her. She wrote her recollections down privately in 1947. Junge lived alone and never spoke of them again until working with a writer to publish them this year. She died last week. Screenings of Blind Spot were mobbed. Wieland Speck selected the film for the festival.
We have a development in our country, conscious-wise, that almost every 2 years reaches a new step and a new desire to deal with the Nazi time again, and maybe in a new way, to just find also own standing in the whole thing, because people like me, you know, we question ourselves and you never find an answer. Now this film is so hyper-minimalistic that it gives you all the freedom as a spectator to be with yourself while you see these images and listen to this voice, meaning that you have an audience after the screening, everyone in the audience has seen an own film because you fill in all the images that you know. And these are, of course, millions of images and also millions of attitudes, millions of approaches that you also had in your own life towards the subject matter. So I see it just as another step in dealing with it.
If personal responsibility was the subject of Blind Spot, the institutional guilt of the Catholic Church was addressed in Amen. The film is an adaptation of The Deputy, a play by Rolf Hochhut that was both a scandal and a commercial success when it opened in 1963. It charged the Vatican with failing to do or say anything to stop the extermination of Jews. Amen's director is Konstantin Kostogavras, who made the classic political dramas Z and State of Siege. At a press conference after the film's premiere, playwright Rolf Hochhut said through a translator that Germans should be ashamed that Amen was finally made for the screen in English with French money 4 decades after he wrote The Deputy.
And I'm delighted that a man of my generation has made this film. A German, a compatriot of mine, would not have run this risk. A German could have made this film as well if they had had the courage so to do so. And I think that we Germans were the murderers of those 6 million. It actually ought to have been one from amongst our ranks who'd made this film, but nobody had the courage to do that.
Film rights to The Deputy were acquired in the 1960s by Italian film producer Carlo Ponti, but Costa-Gavras says Ponti deliberately shelved the project so that a movie would never be made. Just last week, the Vatican announced it would give researchers access to some of its files from 1922 to 1939, which have been secret up to now. Its files on Vatican-German relations during World War II will remain closed. In Berlin, a priest from Vatican Radio asked Costa-Gavras why he felt the need to film The Deputy and dig up old skeletons once again. The director maintained that Amen is just as much about silence in the face of mass murder going on in places like Africa today.
It's a movie, for me, about the indifference, about don't acting in front of tragic elements happening around the world for all kinds of reasons, for political, for economical, for all kinds of reasons you want. And I discovered something extraordinary, that to kill so many people, we think today there's a few people like Himmler, like, you know, some bad guys did it. No, there was something like 40,000 people dedicated to that act, to that industry, because to kill millions of people, we cannot do it with three persons. You have really to transport them, you have to eliminate them, you have to disappear, make them disappear. So 40,000 people, they knew about, they were part of that thing. So how these people were able to do that?
Costa-Gavras is promoting his adaptation of a controversial theater classic with a far more provocative advertising campaign. The poster for Amen is designed by the former art director for Benetton Clothing, who put AIDS patients and death row inmates in those ads. For Amen, he depicts a cross blending into a swastika. The Conference of French Bishops has called it unacceptable and has threatened to sue. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in Berlin.